Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky, and the title for tonight's parsha is just plain Kedoshim, because that's what it's all about. In fact, the entire Sefer Vayikra is all about Kedoshim, and that's what we're dealing with. God has separated us, as we said last week. He keeps on mentioning V'hivdaltem. We are different from all other people, and that's the topic in general. But the parsha begins, very interestingly enough, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani. It's a very interesting thought process at that point in time. What does that really mean, Ki Kadosh Ani? In other words, does God want us to be as holy as He is? Does He expect us to attain that lofty heights of Kedusha? The reality is, if we take a look at the wording, and these parshas are always, since we know that every word in the Torah was selected by God Himself, and every letter was selected by God Himself. We know so many words are spelled male or chaser, and there are only reasons for each one of them. And here is a very major point of order at this point. God says, I want you to attain a certain level of Kedusha, but of course you can't attain my level of Kedusha. We see that by the spelling of the words. When it says Kedoshim, by the way, this is an answer to a trivia question. This is the parsha where the name of the parsha is the furthest from the beginning. Doesn't come, the word Kedoshim that we call the parsha doesn't come until the 14th word of the parsha and in the second pasuk, which is very unusual, but doesn't make a difference. It's just a simple trivia question. But nevertheless, God wants us to attain a certain level of Kedusha, but it's chaser. When it says Kedoshim Tiyu, it's spelled chaser, meaning that after the dalet there's no vav. It's Kedoshim chaser. But when it says Ki Kadosh Ani, Kadosh is spelled with the vav, and because God is complete and God is perfect. But the interesting thing is, this all comes into play because God wants us to, while He wants us to be Kadosh, it has to be done, it can only be done in incremental steps, which brings to mind the story of Hillel and Shammai, when we have the famous story with Shammai, when somebody came to him and said, I want to convert to Judaism, teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one foot. And Shammai shunned him. And the point is that Shammai wasn't so much telling him to get lost, but what Shammai was trying to impart to him is that it can only be done in small increments, very one step at a time, just little bit at a step at a time. If we take every day, we learn more. Every year when we go ahead and we say how many times in our lives have we learned the parish of Kedoshim or any parish in the Torah, we go through it every year, the cycle, and we do it again and again. And every year we have new things to say, and every year we understand it a little more deeply. It takes a great amount of reading it again and again. That's what we get with Shnayim Mikra V'Yecha Targum. Each time we go on it, if we think, we mold the words in our minds, things start to be a little bit more clear in our heads. We understand it on a deeper level. And that's what raises us to a level of Kedusha, when in fact, as well, it's like climbing a ladder, which brings us to the next point. When Yaakov had the dream, and he said, V'nei sulam lutzavarza, when Yaakov was running away from Esav and running towards Lavan, it says, V'yishka b'makom mahu, and he slept in that place, V'yachalom, V'nei sulam lutzavarza, V'nei malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo. Why did God instill that dream in his mind? Obviously, we know literally that angels, they're ascending, they're not climbing ladders, they're not going in an elevator, they're not walking on an escalator, as you see in certain movies maybe, but nevertheless, they are just being elevated by themselves. God's message to Yaakov, which he didn't understand, was, I want you to climb. Yaakov was running away from Esav, but what he was concerned about at that time is he was leaving his father, Yitzchak, who was an Ola Tamima. Yitzchak had reached the pinnacle of Kedusha in terms of his spirituality. He was able to rise to such lofty heights that it's impossible for us to understand. A man who was willing to lay down his life on the altar willingly, not being forced to, and he just did it because he had such immense faith. Yaakov wanted to attain that, and God gave him this ladder. He says, you want to be that way. I know you're running away, but you can't attain that without taking small steps. You must climb that ladder. It takes weeks, months, years of slowly rising to that occasion. And that is what the initial pasuk in the Torah is kadoshim tiyu, ki kadosh. But it must be done gradually. It's a very important point. And so that's what we want to instill. The next thing I wanted to say was, now it says, ki savo el ha'aretz u'netavtem kol eitz ma'achol. There's an interesting thought process over here. It says we are introduced to the whole concept of arla. What is arla? We plant a tree, and for the first 3 years we can't eat from the fruit, and the fourth year we give it to the Kohen, we take it to Yerushalayim, and finally the Kohen, the Levi, we kodesh ilulim la'ashem, and finally in the fifth year. What is this all about? Why is God doing us to that? And on one level, it's a very interesting thought. God is trying to teach us, on one level, God is trying to teach us restraint. Here we are, we've been in the Midbar 40 years. You haven't been able to plant for 40 years. You're roaming around in the Midbar, and you wait to getting into a land. You finally have a plot of land for yourself, and you're planting. And what comes to mind to me is, when God created the world and put Adam HaRishon in the Gan Eden, and he told him you could have everything in the world, but from this tree, only one tree you can't eat. Adam HaRishon could not restrain himself. Adam and Chava could not restrain themselves from eating from that one tree. God needed to know, can we exercise restraint? Can we actually do it? But also, as the Abarbanel points out, the main reason is everything in this parasha, or so much of this parasha, is since we've been so inculcated with the concept of Avodah Zorah, God is trying to get us out of this thing. As we said in last week's parasha, we said, Kimasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishaptim Bolo Sasu, Uchamasei Eretz Kanan, Asher Ani, you know, where you're going, you shouldn't be like them either. The point is, what would happen is that they would take sacrifices and they would sprinkle the blood of the animals on the field to make it grow. So the whole idea of Arla is lo sochlu al hadam. It all has to do with using Avodah Zorah. If you think that sprinkling blood, lo sochlu al hadam, which we take to mean halachically, as the Gemara points out, that we have to daven before we eat in the morning, but on this level, God doesn't lo sochlu al hadam. Don't think you're going to make it grow faster. So what you're going to do, if I tell you to wait 3 years before you could eat, there will be no reason for you to sprinkle the blood because you're going to have to wait a full 3 years. The question then becomes, if we're planting the tree and we're expecting we can't eat for the first 3 years, we can't eat the fruit, why not? Why don't we say the same thing applies if I plant green beans or if I plant corn, I could eat that right away in the first year? How come that is? Because that comes up more quickly. And they had these things in the Midbar. They were able to purchase things, but the fruits became, it's a whole new thing. Planting a tree is a growth process that takes longer periods of time. And we hope the blood, they hope to make it grow faster. That's what they used it as fertilizer, to make it grow faster. And they would pray to their gods, their Avodah Zorah, and God wanted to get that mindset out of our heads. Of course, and that's what it means, lo sochlu al hadam. I don't want you to do it. And that's why we say so many times in the parasha and so many times in the Chumash about Avodah Zorah so many times again and again. And the reason I wanted to mention one thing this week, in fact, about the Haftorah. It says, halo kivnechu shiyem atem li. This is the Haftorah that we read regardless. Every single year we read this Haftorah no matter what. Last week we would have read the Haftorah, but we said Mocha Chodesh. But this week we read it anyhow, halo kivnechu shiyem. And normally speaking, the normal translation that the Gemara gives is that it's not so much Choron even Ava, but that shiny black, and that's, you are like Kushiyim to me, special. But Halokivnei Kushiyim Atem Li, it's explained by some of Farshim that it means you are like all the other people of the world. In other words, God, I am God, Tikot Doshani, I created all living things. I created all human beings. And you are no different to me than all other human beings. And I expect you to treat me as the one and only God. Because even the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the entire world is responsible to do, not only Jews. and to believe in the one and only God, that is a mitzvah for all mankind. It's not just related to Jews, which brings up the thought, in this parish in particular, we see so many different phrases here when it says on so many mitzvot, Ani Hashem, so many times, and in a lot of the psukim it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And why would the difference be from Ani Hashem to Ani Hashem Elokeichem? When it says Ani Hashem, that is a mitzvah that makes sense, generally speaking, for everybody. In other words, if I say you shouldn't steal, societal laws prevent somebody from stealing. Everybody has that rule that society won't exist if people go on stealing and murdering. These are things that are for everybody. But there are certain mitzvos that are only for you Jews. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am commanding you because I am your God, and specifically not just the Shiva mitzvos Bnei Noach, but you are commanded to do the 613 mitzvos as well. Now, one other thing over here, when it says Ish Imo V'yoviv Tiro, it's a very interesting thing. Now, we know that there's a very simple explanation when we say how come it says in the Aseres Hadibros, which this week, basically, the parasha tells us a different order. We have in the Aseres Hadibros, it's, you know, you have to honor your father and mother, Kabeid es avicha v'yasimecha, and now it says Ish Imo V'yoviv Tiro, and of course, the obvious question is, why does it switch the order and of an emo? And we say because normally one has, you know, you have fear of your father and more respect for your mother. But there's a different thought process from the Vilna Gaon. He makes a very interesting concept over here. The father represents Torah Shebiksav, and the mother represents Torah Shebal Peh. And what does he mean by that? Because we see in Mishlei, it says, Shema b'ni musar avicha v'alti tosh Torah simecha. And that's what the Mefarshim tell us on that pasuk, because the father is Torah Shebiksav and the mother is Torah Shebal Peh, which means very simply, the Torah lays down, the God teaches the father he's responsible for his child's Torah upbringing, Torah education. But sometimes a father sometimes says, this is the law, this is what you have to do. And it's up to the mother sometimes to mediate or mitigate the roughness of it and explain why, as the Torah Shebal Peh explains some of the mitzvot or most of the mitzvot whenever possible, how we arrive at the mitzvah and why somebody has to do something. And sometimes that is left up to the mother. And that is why it's interesting. The foundation is laid by the father. And from the Shlosh Esri Midos, we have the terminology. One of them is called the Binyan Av. It doesn't say Binyan Aim. It says Binyan Av. The father lays the foundation, whereas when we want to translate the word and what is the meaning of a word that can be read more than one way in the Torah, and we have a machloka sometimes, it says Yesh Aim LeMikra V'Yesh Aim, because the mother is the one that she is given the responsibility of mitigating the difficulties sometimes that a father may impart to his children, and he has to be explaining in a different way so that the child, a young child, could understand it better. The mother explains it to him if she's capable, certainly. And that's why the Torah says, Aim LeMikra, the Aim LeMasoris, and not of LeMasoris, because the reference there is on Torah Shebal Peh, which is a very interesting concept, which brings back what we say in Pesach. Now, there's one other thing that we have a major problem with in the Chumash. When we say, Hocheach, Tocheach, Es Amitecha, and we are given instructions when we see somebody doing something wrong, we're supposed to advise him and tell him, hopefully, that, you know, you realize that you're doing something wrong. I hope you understand. Don't take it the wrong way. Of course, there are ways to tell people. But is that all the time? A lot of times, people just don't want to get involved, and they think that perhaps if I tell him, he's just going to look the other way and say, I don't really care what you're telling me. I'll do it anyway. And, of course, those are major problems, and we should realize that. And if somebody's going to snub his nose at you, even if you tell him, and you know that in advance, it's not worth anything. In fact, a well-known experience is that when Moshe Feinstein, Reb Moshe Feinstein, and Olav HaShalom, walked into a shul and as a guest one time, I mean, of course, more than once, but he saw the signs hanging on the wall, Asur Ladabir B'Shas HaTefila. He told people in the shul to take down the signs because the people that are talking during davening, if they have that little respect for davening, you telling them to be quiet, as we well know, there are people who talk regardless of how many times you tell them to keep quiet. Make sure that there are no signs there. That makes it amazing rather than a shogeg. But what we also have to realize is God gives us another warning in the parasha, which gives us another impetus to try our best to make people aware. If we can't bury our heads in the sand, and that's where we were with the Egel. There were only a few thousand people who created the sin of the golden calf, yet we were punished so severely. Klal Yisrael was put to the test, put God to the test for this, and the major pain was that the million people who could have stopped them from doing it didn't do it because they looked the other way. And God says, "V'nosati es ponai bo ishahu v'mishpachto," and this is a very dangerous situation. I don't want you ever to look the other way. V'im halem yalimu am ha'aretz einehem min ishahu. When you see something happening and you do nothing, you're guilty. You become complicit. If you look the other way and you bury your head in the sand when something is wrong and you know that you have the ability to do something about it and you don't speak up, even if you know necessarily you can't stop it, but you bury your head in the sand and pretend you don't see or whatever it is, whatever your excuse is, and you do nothing, you are an accessory after the fact. Simply, this is a jurisprudence, but nevertheless, that's the reality in the Torah. And that's it. Of course, it's talking about something else over there. It's talking about Avodah Zorah there as well. And we have to make sure that we stop that in its tracks. There are certain averis that are such heinous crimes that we can't look the other way. And we have to be very careful when we see happen. And in today's day and world, we see so many issues being dealt with, and we don't speak up because we figure we live in a world, and what can we do? There's so many people. But if we don't speak up, we're lost. If we don't speak up, God will be on your side. If you say you speak up and say something, the end result will be that at least you can hold your head up and say, I didn't bury my head in the sand. And that is what being Kedusha is all about. We have to be concentrated, as we're going to learn in next week's parasha, about Kid Mikadosh Shem Shemayim, and that is always, well, most of the time, it's considered Befahesia of the Jews, or to profane the name of God is by not doing something. When you see something happening and you just turn your head and walk away and pretend you didn't see it, that is something that one is enjoined from doing. With that, I bid you a good evening. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Refuah Shalema to the Rebbetzin, and thank you for your outstanding class.
Thank you. She's fine. Thank you.